This is Jay Sekulow. The president makes it clear, no concessions to Turkey.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president said there will be no concessions with Turkey over that detained American pastor that's been the flashpoint of so much controversy between the two countries.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president also says, according to Reuters, that he's not concerned about the potential for economic damage to Europe over U.S. tariffs against Turkey.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Well, there are some new developments in the case involving Pastor Andrew Brunson. There's been ongoing negotiations, as you know, and for those of you that maybe just be joining us or are new to the broadcast, we have been representing Pastor Brunson and his family since 2016. So that was prior to the election of President Trump. President Trump was elected. The president began working aggressively for his release, and I was working closely with and working closely with the president on that. I will tell you this, that what has happened, and there's been a lot of speculation as to why he has not been released. For those of you that don't know, he's been charged with Christianization. That means sharing his faith. And in Turkey, they say that is espionage. And that is typically, Jordan, what these countries, you've done a lot of these, yep. What these countries do is they come up with this, in this case, an espionage charge.
That's right. I mean, so even in the headlines in Turkey today, we've told you how that they have played this up. It's a daily, multiple newspapers, every national newspaper in the country is writing about this. And it's they are talking about how evangelicals are responsible. That's literally a headline in Turkey. Evangelicals are pulling Trump's strings in trade spat with Turkey. And so they tie directly together his Christian faith, specifically evangelical faith, and the decisions being made in this case. And so that, to them, would be someone who could be considered a terrorist. They get into end times theology. I mean, it is, again, you can tell they're not very familiar with theology in itself. This was a nation that was extremely secular, and then it started playing around with political Islam. In fact, Erdogan yesterday released the video at the end of the Eid holiday and to the Muslims and said that the attack, that this is an attack by the United States, quote, on our call to prayer and our flag. So Islamic politics and nationalism tied together, which is a pretty dangerous combination in Turkey because it's been one that's been very nationalistic but not playing around with Islamic politics. I'm not sure they always know what they're getting into. With this, but he uses really tough language in this video. We're a nation that prefers to be shot in the neck rather than be chained at the neck.
Yeah, that's strong. But the president is also strong. Yep. So here's what happened. President Trump on Monday ruled out, that was yesterday, making any concessions to Turkey to gain the freedom of an American pastor. That's Andrew Brunson, our client. The president, speaking to Reuters yesterday in the Oval Office, said he had a deal with Turkish President Recep Erdogan. When he had helped persuade Israel to free a detained Turkish citizen who had some ties to Hamas. Trump, the president, has imposed tariffs on imports on Turkish steel and aluminum. Turkey's in an economic freefall. And the United States Congress then has also weighed in and said no F-35s.
They've said no F-35s for 90 days, Jay, and I fully expect them to extend that if Pastor Brunson is not home. And look, I know the Congress is ready to do more following the president's lead. Senators Lankford and Shaheen, Jay, have language inside the state foreign ops appropriations bill ready to go that would deny more visas if Pastor Brunson's not home. So there's a lot of things that the president can do, is doing, and will continue to do. But look, if he needs additional authority from the Hill, it is coming, and it is coming in a bipartisan fashion.
Well, look, I mean, we've got a situation that's developed in Turkey right now that is significant. We know the consequences. The president understands what's at stake. He asked the pastor to be an American patriot. The pastor is doing that. He's on home confinement right now, which is a lot better than being in jail. But he's got a trial date set for October. We are still working aggressively on his release. We want to know your thoughts about Turkey. What should the president do? 1-800-684-3110. What would you advise? And your thoughts and prayers for the Brunson family. I'm going to communicate those to them as well. So if you want to even talk about that, we're absolutely willing to do that. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. And are there going to be more in the works? Security clearance revocations. We'll talk about that as well. 800-684-3110. And don't forget the ACLJ matching challenge campaign. Any match you donate, we get a matching gift form in the last 10 to 8 days of that right now. ACLJ.org. Great way to do it. All right, we'll take your calls. 1-800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. Taking your calls at 800-684-3110. We're talking about Turkey. We're talking about this whole incident with Phil Mudd. We'll get into that a little bit later in the broadcast. And he's a CNN analyst, former, I think, CIA or FBI operative. CIA operative, and he had some strong words on CNN Network. That's the network he works for. We're going to be taking your calls as well at 800-684-3110. We're talking this segment, though, about Andrew Brunson, and we need to do that because the president has laid down a very strong marker here, and he's saying no concessions in light of the fact that the president feels that Erdogan had a deal that was the United States would help in securing the release of a Turkish citizen being held by the Israelis. He did that, and the Israelis released the Turkish citizen, and they did not return Brunson home. They merely turned him to house arrest.
This is just reneging on a deal is what he did. I mean, there's no doubt about it. He didn't even put other conditions perhaps on it that made the demand to the president, President Trump, unpalatable and told him he wasn't going to do it. But this is not unusual in Turkish negotiations with the Ottomans. And then we have to understand that Recep Tayyip Erdogan considers himself a successor of the Ottomans. He is the new Sultan of Turkey, and he does the things the way the Sultanate does it. And one of those things is to renege on a deal when at the last minute he doesn't get what he wants.
Which is exactly what's happened here, Wes.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah. And he has proven over and over again that he's moving Turkey away from the West more and more towards basically what will be an Islamist republic. And since October of 2016, when Pastor Brunson was first captured and arrested, Turkey, or at least Erdogan, has proven not to be a good faith partner in negotiating anything about Pastor Brunson. And he's only exacerbated it and continues to move more towards Iran and Russia and move away from NATO and the United States. And we have some control over our attitudes towards Turkey. We have no control over Erdogan's movements towards Russia, Iran, and his inability or unwillingness to negotiate concerning Pastor Brunson.
So let me bring up this question because this is so for everybody in our radio and TV audience. Understand this is a multilateral situation that we have. You've got the United States Turkey NATO relationship, and then you got the Turkey Iran Turkey Russia relationship. Part of the concern of the House and Senate fan has been that Turkey's desiring to obtain that Su-400 anti-aircraft missiles and for aircraft, and it's our F-35 aircraft we're giving them or selling.
Well, Turkey
to
wants to buy the S-400 from the Russians, buy the F-35 from us, and then
that's
play each
deal.
Against
Find
each
out
other.
Each country's technology.
Well, look, and under a previous administration, they might have gotten away with it. But, Jay, this administration and the Congress have spoken with one voice. Both the S-400 and the F-35 were mentioned in the National Defense Authorization Act. The purchase of the S-400 would be sanctionable if they go through with that, and the Congress has delayed the delivery of the F-35s. But on the hostage point, Jay, I mean, Wes is certainly correct that this is how President Erdogan has started behaving. But I would tell you this. If he thinks that that is going to convince President Trump to change his mind, he is living in a fantasy world, because President Trump, before he was a president, before he was a candidate, spoke clearly about ransom payments. And he knows if the United States starts paying ransoms, more Americans will be taken. So his policy of we will pay nothing, Jay, that's the correct one. We have been inconsistent on that for years now.
All right, we're going to go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Who do we have next?
Tony in Oregon, online too. Tony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Go ahead.
Hi. My understanding is that Erdogan is taking Turkey away from NATO and becoming an Islamic Republic. But the thing is we have a base over there that still has tactical nukes on it. It's a dangerous situation, and we really need to remove them from Turkey before he decides he wants to just take our base and keep the nukes.
Yeah.
Do we know if there are nukes on that
base? Yes, sir. There actually are. That was something that I just found out doing my research this week. We have almost 100 nuclear weapons, and they're not just tactical. We provide the nuclear umbrella, the protective umbrella for NATO and Western Europe.
Explain that some. I think that's important for people to understand.
Well, in order to avoid nuclear proliferation and all of our NATO allies in Western Europe having individual weapons, although some of them do, probably France and the United Kingdom, in order to keep other nations from wanting it, under our NATO alliance, we agree to protect them from attack, keeping in mind that NATO was founded to counter Russian aggression. And so in Turkey, at Incirlik Air Base, we have almost 100 nuclear weapons that are stored there so that if the unthinkable happens, that we could protect Western Europe and our NATO allies if it came out to an all-out nuclear war. And the caller's right. It is very complicated because strategically we need the base for our missions in the Middle East, but we also, if we lost that base, and I can't see that happening, we would have to secure and remove those nuclear weapons. You would not want those falling into the hands of Erdogan.
Andy, do you think that they are, I mean, you've studied Turkey for a long time, and we've done work at our Oxford Center. We published a book on it.
Right.
Do you think they want out of NATO, or it's just this is their head fakes? They need the NATO presence because they've had difficulty with, even though they're trying to cozy up to Russia, they've had historically a very difficult time with Russia.
Erdogan wants his halva and to eat it too, basically, is what it is. He wants to stay within the Turkey alliance.
You know, most people don't know what halva is.
Halva is a Turkish
sesame.
It's a sesame and honey pressed together with
some substance paste,
and that's what he wants. He wants his halva.
My people like it too.
And to eat it too, because he wants to keep the alliance with the within NATO. He doesn't want to leave NATO. That's the protective shield.
No, because if he leaves NATO and their economy's crumbling like a piece of halva, actually.
It is crumbling, and halva does crumble when you eat it. But he's been in, who's the cause of that, Jay? Who's been in power for 16 years running the Turkish government and every other aspect of the Turkish economy, judiciary, social, political, military system? One man, Recep Tayyip Erdogan.
Yep. Let's go right back to the phones. 1-800-684-3110. Jared in Texas on line 5. Jared, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Jared, welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Thanks, guys. Is there anything else that the UN could be doing to put pressure on, remove Turkey from maybe some, you know, councils, or, you know, or is it just...
It's not so much putting removing them from the councils. The UN's Committee on Arbitrary Detention has taken up the case of Andrew Brunson, and that is a UN committee that does that, and they only take about 30 cases a year, and they've taken the case of Andrew Brunson. So we have been, as an institution, the American Center for Law and Justice, our European Center for Law and Justice, have been very engaged at the UN on Brunson's behalf, Jordan.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that the UN has done what it can, especially when you've got NATO involved. So you've got this much broader international organization, and then you've got the really unique military alliance with NATO. And when you have that kind of partnership, again, we talk about this, when it's a U.S. pastor, it's going to be the United States that has to take the lead. When it's a NATO ally, it's going to have to be NATO. It's a step past the U.N. So I think the U.N. is engaging. We've been engaging that. His daughter's given testimony before. So I think that what you do there is you're shaming Turkey in a sense every opportunity you have to keep reminding people that they're not some great Western democracy, that this is a place where you can be arbitrarily detained, like our State Department has warned Americans about traveling to Turkey, that you may just be arrested because you're an American or and a charge against you because you're a Christian, and so that no one is safe. Those kind of countries, I will tell you, they can't stand those reminders in Turkey. They wear their fancy suits. They try to act very diplomatic and formal and secular to some extent. But they've got a government there that is embracing Islamic politics. And so that is something I think very dangerous for the Turkish people. And you look at Erdogan's language about this attack on the call to prayer from the United States. That's not that dissimilar from the language you'd hear out of a Iranian Ayatollah or even some kind of radical from a terrorist organization.
He's trying to incite religious fervor and nationalism to counter the United States.
Yeah, at the same time.
At the same time. So, Than, you look at it, you know, we talked about our engagement in the UN, but let's talk about what is Washington's sense of where this is right now as we've reached a bit of an impasse with Turkey.
I actually think across the aisle, Jay, they see it the same way the president does. They think that President Erdogan has reneged on an offer and he's engaged in hostage taking, and they do not believe that ransom should be paid. Jay, I think that they stand ready to escalate the sanction or the pressure on Turkey. We mentioned the language in the state foreign appropriations bill. I think that will go forward. I think they are committed to returning to the F-35 issue if they need to, Jay. But I go back to the point that the conversation you just had with Jordan. I think they also want the rest of the world to gather behind the United States on this. You go to the Human Rights Council, they're too focused on condemning Israel to engage in an issue like this. And if you want to talk about something with teeth, the Security Council, you know, they're protected by a veto from Russia. So the United States House and Senate is ready to move, and I think they will move. October 1st is the deadline for those appropriations bills, and I would expect new statutory sanctions in them. But look, this has been the president's lead, and I think across the aisle, both Republicans and Democrats, I think they're supportive of his posture.
Here's what the president said. I got the person out for him, talking about the Turkish citizen that was in Israel. I expect him to let this very innocent and wonderful man and great father and great Christian out of Turkey. He also said, I like Turkey. I like the people of Turkey very much. Until now, I had a very good relationship, as you know, with the president. I got along with him great. I had a very good relationship. But it can't be a one-way street. It's no longer a one-way street for the United States. Tough words from the president of the United States. We're going to take your calls on all of this. At 1-800-684-3110, second half of the broadcast, we're going to get into this Phil Mudge CNN, what would you call it, Jordan?
Meltdown,
there you go, Jordan's word. We'll talk about that and some of the security clearance issues there, but we will take your calls as well at 800-684-3110.
Yeah, that's right. So we'll get into security clearance issues. We're going to get into more about the situation in Turkey. A lot of phone calls coming in. We're taking a lot of calls throughout the show today. 1-800-684-3110, so we're not loading all the calls up and taking them later. We've been taking... So there's opening lines. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. President Trump, in an interview with Reuters yesterday, and this is an interview that was a wide-ranging topics, but one of those topics that came up was the situation with Turkey and Pastor Brunson, the targeted sanctions, the tariffs on Turkey, and the idea that there could be more sanctions coming on Turkey. When he was speaking on the issue, President Trump said directly that there would be no concessions, that he was again, they already had made a deal with the Turkish president on an individual who was released from Israeli custody and returned to Turkey, and no more concessions. The actual quote, there will be no concessions, specific to our client, Andrew Brunson. And he is not, again, he's in a house arrest situation, so it's much better than being in a prison situation. This has gone on for 2 years. The Trump administration's work on this really began as far back as their transition. They were getting updated on this and ready to go as they came into control of the U.S. government at the executive branch level. We're going to take your phone calls on this at 1-800-684-3110. The rhetoric has also increased in Turkey with a direct call at the end of the Eid holiday. You may have seen a lot of those videos going around yesterday. Erdogan, the president of Turkey, he sent out his own video and said that this attack by the U.S. is, quote, an attack on our call to prayer and our flag. So he's invoking Islamic politics and nationalism together there, and went so far as to say, we are a nation that prefers to be shot in the neck rather than to be chained at the neck. So the rhetoric, again, you can understand this coming across the end of a holiday in the Islamic world. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go right back to the phone. Shelley has been holding on in California on line 6. Shelley, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, I just wanted to say that I support the president completely with his stance on Turkey. They need to know that they'll gain absolutely nothing by taking one of our people. But do you think that the Turkish people are supportive of this? Because they used to be sort of Western-like, or they were trying to be. And so I'm wondering, do you think that they support this? And also, I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you see this coming to a good end for Pastor Brunson? I mean, ultimately, he is in God's hands. But
you know, I think one of the biggest concerns for Pastor Brunson is when you have the rhetoric like this, and so he's under a house arrest situation. He's got security there from the Turkish government also. But when you use this kind of rhetoric, and I am telling you, whereas our media really started covering this the last few months, this is every day in every Turkish newspaper, on every Turkish news broadcast, attacking Andrew Brunson, making him out to be this major threat. The people in Turkey, you would think still economic interests would be more important. Most of the articles, even against Andrew Brunson, against the U.S. policy, and have been still about the economics. I mean, they still that's where they feel like they're reaching people. They're trying to shift the blame, though. But the world economists are now starting to weigh in on this and saying that really Turkey's trying to use this to explain away a problem that was already coming.
Yeah, so the problem that was definitely coming under 16 years of Erdogan. I mean, if you look at what happened, the Turkish lira having lost 40% of its value, this incredible building that's been going on in Istanbul, and I think they have hundreds of thousands of empty units that they can't sell, the debt that they have accumulated, which is an enormous quantity of money payable in U.S. dollars, not in lira. The general malaise in the economy, the failure to control the inflation, the failure to raise the interest rates in an economically sound way, all these things augur very poorly for the Turkish economy in the long run. And ultimately, all his statements with respect to not chaining us on the neck or attacking our call to prayer or desecrating our flag are going to mean nothing when it comes down to the inability of the Turkish people to just put regular staples in their mouth, food and commodities, and get gas and petroleum and things that they need like that. That stuff is going to come to hurt Erdogan, and I don't think he sees it because he is so incredibly proud and so incredibly arrogant. He's taken on, as I said before, the sultanic qualities.
All right, we're going to go right back to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Dennis in Nevada on line one. Dennis, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Dennis.
Hi, and thank you, and we contribute.
Oh, now, we appreciate that. Point, thanks.
Okay, we to the point. No matter, I don't know, you asked about what we advise the president to do. I can't say, but I have one thought on no matter how this comes out or if it comes out good, whether we're actually going to sell these planes to them, they should not get any planes unless they actually pay for it. Now, my take is they shouldn't get any F-35s, period. He reneges on deals. We're going to renege on deals. I know you guys will have a
well, let me go that, right to Dan Bennett on that. I mean, Dan, where do you see Congress? I mean, there doesn't seem to be a lot of wiggle room with Congress put forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a couple of different layers to this. First of all, in the actual payment for them, I would tell Dennis they do pay for them. It's a private purchase from Lockheed Martin. It's the United States that has to authorize the delivery to Turkey. So the two planes that would first go to Turkey are currently in Arizona right now. And the language in the National Defense Authorization Act says those planes cannot be delivered to Turkey for the next 90 days while the report assessing the ramifications is worked on. So that's number one. But then the second point, Jay, on the security component, look, Turkey, we want Turkey to be an ally. We want a security partnership with him. You've had this conversation with Wes. Of course, it has to be a two-way street, which is why I think that quote from the president was so important, that it's no longer going to be a one-way street for the United States. You want that security alliance in place. But look, I think the Congress has been very clear. If Pastor Brunson's not home, I think that F-35 language will be extended. The payment's already been made, but those deliveries will not be made.
All right, let's take another call, 1-800-684-3110. Let's go to Daniel in Illinois online, too. Daniel, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Daniel.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Do you feel that the State Department, other than a travel ban, might issue a recall of American citizens? And if they do issue a recall, will that just escalate the tensions more, or will that be a bargaining chip?
I don't think I don't think we're going to see, Andy, an embassy recall, although there was shots fired in front of the U.S. embassy. Yep. But I do look, the travel warning says don't go because of arbitrary detention.
Well, one of the other things that's happened, Jay, is the military has removed 700 military families out of Turkey.
Yeah. So, wow. Oh, there you go.
That's not good. Well, no, I mean, I got to tell you, I myself would not travel to Turkey right now because, for obvious reasons, we have a little bit higher profile here advocating as we do on this program with respect to the situation with Turkey and our involvement with the President of the United States. But I would say that it's a very dangerous country to be in right now, and I wouldn't advocate travel to Turkey right now,
yeah, I think
personally.
That's fair. Yep, no, I think that's absolutely right. All right, we want to try to squeeze one more?
Well, we do have another call about that because people are asking about that directly. So Colleen in California on line four, I think it ties in directly. Colleen, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, hello. Colleen.
Hello.
Yep.
That's my question. We have a church group that is going to Turkey in November. I'm concerned about them.
Whew.
Sounds
Boy.
Like it might not be a good idea.
Well, there's
idea.
A travel warning. Do we have the exact travel warning, Will? There's a travel warning up that says arbitrary detentions of U.S. citizens. I mean,
go to Israel.
Yeah, go to Israel instead. That's what I would recommend.
A lot of places are changing this policy.
So level 3 travel warning, which means that you should reconsider travel. So, Colleen, that should be the answer.
Yeah, for the non-business traveler especially. That's who that's targeting especially. If you're not there because you have to be there, if you're not there because your work's requiring you to be there, your livelihood, that you need to think twice about this as a place that used to be fine for tourism.
All right, coming back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this, but we're also going to talk about this... Jordan calls it, a CNN meltdown on one of their analysts on the issue of security clearances. We'll take those calls when we come back from the break, 1-800-684-3110. Talk a little bit more about Turkey as well. Don't forget, if you don't get the full hour of the broadcast, just go over to ACLJ.org or Periscope or Facebook to watch the broadcast there. We'll be back with more, including your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
Freedom. I'm talking
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The president said there will be no concessions with Turkey over that detained American pastor that's been the flashpoint of so much controversy between the two countries. The president also says, according to Reuters, that he's not concerned about the potential for economic damage to Europe over U.S. tariffs against Turkey.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, we've got a couple things we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the situation in Turkey. The president saying no concessions. He couldn't be any clearer. No more concessions to Turkey. The president arranged with Benjamin Netanyahu the release of a Turkish citizen being held in Israel. And for that, Erdogan was supposed to release Brunson to his country of origin, the United States. He did not release him to home confinement. No more negotiations as far as, well, there's always negotiations. No more concessions. And Andy, there's a big difference between concessions and negotiations.
Negotiations is talking. It's what diplomats do. We sit down, we discuss. It's what the president is the best at, the art of the deal. Sitting down and working out things in a diplomatic fashion, short of war if necessary. Concessions is just giving up things where you get nothing in return. Just give, just appeasement. You know, we've heard about appeasement. We know what the consequence of that was from Neville Chamberlain in World War II, if we read history. And we're not appeasing the Turks anymore. That's over with. We're not going to give them ourselves in the hope that the crocodile eats us last. And I think that's exactly what the president has said when he said no more concessions.
We're going to talk about this throughout the program. We're also going to talk about this former CIA analyst, Phil Mudd, who got into a very aggressive back and forth on CNN about the idea of security clearances being revoked. Now, it's interesting on the security clearance revocation issue. Let's be clear on this, that those that were coming out in favor of and signed that letter of support for John Brennan have now started singing a bit of a different tune. They don't like that his clearance was revoked, but they also don't like that he called the president treasonous.
That's right. So you've seen, again, this back and forth occur. The president's pointed out as well that it looks like they're trying to play up to, please don't take my security clearance. I mean, he said that because it is an economic interest.
Sure.
Even Brennan admitted it.
Phil Mudd says it's not, though. Tries to.
Yeah, he tries to say this in the interview, that he's not getting money from the U.S. government. That's not what we talk about, though. We talk about government contractors. So his contract would not be with the U.S. government. It would be with a company that has a contract with the U.S. government. So he's a professional TV commentator. He's parsing his words, but he lost it.
I'll tell you something. Phil Mudd should lose a security clearance just for what he's did right here.
Yeah, yeah.
That's okay. So,
because they're inappropriately using information, and they're using it to become TV commentators, paid TV commentators.
You want me to start with one, Will? You want me to set it up for the next segment? And Will wants me to set it up for the next segment. So we'll save that for the next segment. So let's go ahead and take one more Erdogan call, then we're going to get into the Phil Mudd
Keith
situation.
Keith in Louisiana Online 5. Keith, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Keith.
Thank you. Good morning, gentlemen. I have a question. Since Kemal Ataturk said his democracy end right after the Ottoman Empire crashed, we now see a failed coup. And do you think that Erdogan is trying to set himself up as an Islamic dictator, given the vacuum that's currently going on in Iran and sanctions soon to be tightened on November the 1st? Plus, he stands as a major land bridge and a NATO ally between the Russian oil in the Black Sea
absolutely.
And Eastern Europe. So what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we wrote a book called Burning Bridge. You talked about the bridge. We wrote a book called Burning Bridges, Turkey's Return to Islamic Authoritarianism. So if the title's kind of a give, I'm going to send you one of those too, by the way, Keith. You hang on the line here. Let me go to Andy Economo, who's our expert on this.
Well, that's exactly what has happened. He is setting up an Islamic Republic in the place of the Sultanate. And if Ataturk was alive today, he would be appalled at what is going on, because that's not the idea of the new republic under Mustafa Kemal Ataturk in 1922. And what is happening is Erdogan has decided that he is going to become the new caliph, the new sultan, the new Islamic leader in the place of all the other ones in the Middle East. And so, yes, I agree with you. That's exactly what he's trying to do with Turkey.
This is a great book that we put out. So I'm going to make sure that we send it to our caller there. That was very important. All right, we're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. We come back from the break. 1-800-684-3110. Don't forget the ACLJ in a matching challenge. That means any amount you donate to the ACLJ, we're getting a matching gift for. We've got a interesting little video coming up for those watching on TV, Facebook, and Periscope, involving involving the Phil Mudd breakdown on CNN, former CIA operative. Not too happy about Brennan losing his security clearance. We'll get into that. Take your calls at 800-684-3110.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, ACLJ.org. It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast. 1-800-684-3110. We're going to kind of move gears here. You know, John Brennan lost his security clearance. Accused the president of committing treason. He said, nothing short of treason. I'm going to have to reiterate that again as we get into this next series on this with Phil Mudd. But Andy, when you say nothing short of treason, that means treason.
That's right.
And treason is a crime punishable by the death penalty.
That's right. There are not a lot of death penalties in the federal system. I think there's some for kingpin drug dealers and things of that nature. We've abolished it. Mostly the states still have death penalty in many instances in capital offenses. But when you call the elected, inaugurated, duly installed president of the United States as having committed an act that is nothing less than treason, you're calling him a traitor and asking for his death. That's an outrageous thing to say.
Well, there you go. And that was said. So then, Jordan, why don't you fill in what happened to John Brennan's associates that were backing him up in a letter, but then started complaining about, or at least challenging his statements on the treason charge.
Yeah, they said, you know, he's gone too far, that that he was being again like a bulldozer, and made it political, made it about himself, and it has politicized the intelligence community. So you said the former Joint Chief of Staff say that this has gotten way too political. You have his friend, the former director of National Intelligence, also saying while he doesn't agree with taking away the security clearance, the rhetoric too far, and not defending that. But it's hitting a nerve in Washington. I mean, that's the truth is that this security clearance issue has hit a nerve in the swamp. I don't care if these people were Republicans or Democrats or not partisan. I think that it's because this president's willing to challenge the establishment, the status quo of these kickback industry of serving the government for 30 years, and that's wonderful that these people have done that, and that they've had these careers. But then suddenly you automatically get this this kickback. And by the way, these are paid political commentators on CNN. These are guys who are getting paychecks to be on TV and act this way, who have the also access to information. And if you watch how they couch their terminology, they're very careful not to step over themselves.
Will, do you think it would be – I'm talking to our producer. Do you think it would be too much to play the entire minute and 30? The whole – or whatever it is back-to-back here to give the full – because I think that gives the – and then we can break it down. So I'm going to play for you what went on in CNN for about – this was about a minute and a half, right? Is that about right? Take a listen.
When I am requested to sit on an advisory board, let me ask you one question. How much do you think I'm paid to do that at the request of the U.S. government? Give me one answer and you got 10 seconds. How much?
I'll ask you a question. How much are you paid for your consulting and contracting gig?
I have no contracts with the U.S. government that pay money. Zero.
I'm not talking about your role with the federal government. I'm talking about the contracting gigs that you get from being a consultant and a contractor. The consulting firms that they form and that you all get is because you get more money when having a consultant, before having the security clearance.
That is
incorrect. Stop acting like that doesn't happen.
I have zero consulting relationships with the U.S. government. Zero.
I'm not talking, Phil, that's a good talking point. I'm not talking about relationships with the government. I'm talking about in the private sector. When you have a security clearance and you keep it.
I have zero relationships with the private sector that involve my security clearance. Zero. I get $0 from consulting companies that deal with the U.S. government. Are we clear?
Well, I will be clear in saying that everybody in Washington, D.C. knows if you don't want to be honest about it, that's on you. But if you have a security clearance and you keep it, you
get more money.
Your voice is still here. You can still do whatever you want. But the politicalization of the intelligence community under this administration, with the people coming on here every day, tweeting and talking about this administration, you all have made it about politics, the president.
35 years in intelligence work, and this is the expletive omitted I get. So would you want this guy to have a security clearance? We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Now, I've gone to bat with Phil Mudd before. We'll break this down in a moment, but I want to go to our talk to our experts first. Let me start with someone who's had security clearance.
Yeah.
Your reaction to Phil Mudd, former CIA operative, 35 years of intelligence service, treating Paris Denard this way, who was simply pointing out the obvious.
It's incredible.
Unreal.
In the sense of entitlement.
And by the way, he has a contract with CNN, just to be clear.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And not only that, the reason he has a contract with CNN is because he had a security clearance and a career with the CIA. But the sense of entitlement is pretty amazing. You do not have a right to a security clearance. And once you leave government service, it's not necessary for you to have a security clearance. And all of that goes by the wayside in these conversations.
If you look at his own bio, this is his website, because he's also an author on CIA books. I wonder how he gets that information. Mr. Mudd is the president of Mudd Management. Now, does that sound like the typical Washington Mudd manager, right?
In the swamp.
A company specializing in security consulting. Now, he just went on TV and said his security clearance has nothing to do with his private business. He literally uses the same term. So you're not doing security consulting if you didn't have this career, if you didn't have the access, training, and public speaking about security issues. So this is what he puts out about himself and the jobs that he has now. These consultants in Washington, D.C., as was said on that interview, would not get these positions if it was not for the access they have or had. And if it's taken away from them in a public way, they're discredited. So they're not going to have these consulting firms anymore. So you see, it hit a nerve.
Oh, yeah.
That is a paid TV commentator who could not keep it together.
Van Bennett, Mr. Government Affairs.
Jordan's correct. Security clearances become a calling card when you leave government service, Jay. And look, I actually go beyond Jordan on this one. You know, security clearances, in my opinion, are not only a privilege, they are privilege granted for a specific reason. And that is in order to go beyond Jordan on this one. You know, security clearances, in my opinion, are not only a privilege, they are privilege granted for a specific reason. And that is in order to serve the American people through government service. I think that when you leave government service, the default should be that you lose it. Now, Jordan's outlined several instances where you would need to keep a clearance working with a defense contractor and things of that nature. But, Jay, I actually think that should be a proactive regrant. There is no doubt here in Washington, D.C., that if you leave government service with a security clearance, that becomes your calling card for a future employment. And guess what it gets you oftentimes? A contract with the likes of CNN. And if Phil Mudd says he gets $0 as a result of his clearance, then I wonder why he's so angry about potentially losing it. Why would he care about losing
anger? Was an understatement, but these are not people that should be given security clearances. All right, let's go ahead and take a phone call.
The president tweeted about that.
Yes, he did.
He said that he's watched it and he asked, you know, why would this person have a security clearance?
I don't know.
I mean, because you see that and you wonder, this is the kind of people who are empowering the U.S. So 1-800-684-3110. Back to the phones we go. James in Michigan online too.
Hey, James, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. My question is if I understand a sitting president probably gets bashed quite often, but if we have somebody like James Brennan saying that our president is a traitor, could they be
could they come up on a
defamation lawsuit?
Well, look, I mean, you technically, first of all, the president's the highest profile public figure in the world. So the standard on that, Andy, would be very difficult. And even if you could, I wouldn't recommend it.
No, it would be. When you're a public figure.
No, but Brennan threatened to sue. John Brennan has threatened to sue the president
right.
for the revocation.
We have no idea what the basis of the cause of action would be.
My colleague, not a contract. Rudy Giuliani, it's not. And I were authorized to defend the president if it was necessary. I don't think it will be.
No, I don't think so. I think that would be an easy case to defend because I don't think it'd last in court beyond a motion to dismiss for failure to state a claim. But going back to the question of whether the president would bring a lawsuit. No, the president is not going to bring a lawsuit against a person who exercises First Amendment rights, albeit irresponsibly, in my opinion.
Yep.
All right, back to the phones. So we go Frank in Florida on line one. Frank, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Frank.
Hey, how you doing today, Jason? How are you?
Good.
I'm the senior advisor to Americans for Trump in Broward County here.
Okay.
We're notoriously by Blue County, and we'd love to have you guys speak at one of our events. That's a separate issue.
Always in the winter. Always go down to Broward County. All right, go ahead.
Absolutely. You're welcome. We have great, great, great events.
All right, go ahead with your – we're not going to let you do an ad for Broward County. Go ahead and do – go ahead with your question.
No, it's not what I'm talking about.
No, go ahead.
All right, so let's get to Mud. You're a lawyer. I work in intelligence. When people get unhinged like that, they usually have something to hide. Okay? I think that if we looked into Mudd's background and where he's getting his, you know, financial situation from, I guarantee you we will find that he's making money off intelligence.
Let me play number 16 again. Oh, we'll just did an editorial executive decision because there may be a profanity in that one. Well, we can't. Can we move expletive omitted? We'll get it cleaned up. But can I read it? That'll be safe. I just will remove the expletive. It says, he will be clear in saying that everyone in Washington, D.C., this is what Denard says, if you want to be honest about it, if you have a security clearance and you keep it, you're going to get more money. We're done. Get out. I'm not even doing this justice. And then Denard says, it's not your show. I'm staying right here. Don't be so defensive about this. Mud screams, get out. I say remove the security clearance. That's my view. All right, we're taking your calls and comments. Last segment of the broadcast is coming up.
1-800-684-3110. This is the time to get the calls in. We've got a break coming up, so we get those calls ready to go. As we've done on the broadcast today, we've taken a lot of phone calls, and we've got into a couple of different issues. 1-800-684-3110 is we're coming back on Jay Sekulow Live. Check out ACLJ.org as well. Lots of information there about all the work we're doing. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a historic move. Now the United States has moved its embassy in Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, Israel's true capital. The state of Israel and its very right to exist is a linchpin issue not only in the Middle East, but represents a critical issue to the world at large. Israel is facing unprecedented challenges. Enemies abound. ISIS, Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran all pledge to wipe Israel from the face of the earth. In his new book, New York Times bestselling author Jay Sekulow presents a powerful political and historical rationale for the existence of Israel as a sovereign nation. Jerusalem, a biblical and historical case for the Jewish capital, presents clear, irrefutable evidence to remove any doubt about Israel's right to exist. And the book dispels legal myths purported by Israel's enemies. Get your copy today, Jerusalem, a Biblical and Historical Case for the Jewish Capital. Available now at Amazon or Barnes & Noble. This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist to fill the seat created by the retirement of Justice Kennedy. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. He has extensive experience and a commitment to adhere to the rule of law and uphold the Constitution. Yet the radical left is pulling out all the stops to derail this nomination. That's why it's so critical to support this nominee. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Stand with us on this critical fight. Sign on to our petition calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.
A lot of calls about security clearances coming in. Is there a good bite to play to kind of reset for people so they understand what we're talking about here with this happened on CNN, paid contributor, former CIA and FBI analyst. By the way, he was appointed by the FBI by Bob Mueller. Interesting to note. He puts that in his bio. But it's Phil Mudd. And he's got this kind of reputation for being pretty wild on air. But not this. Not a full meltdown. Remember, he's a paid CNN contributor. So he's a professional TV commentator. Take a listen. All right, so are we ready to go? Let's go.
That everybody in Washington, D.C. knows, if you don't want to be honest about it, that's on you. But if you have a security clearance and you keep it, you
We're
get
done,
more
Jim.
Money to
We're
have
done.
It.
We're done. Get out.
Phil.
It's not your show, so I'm staying
years
right
in the
here.
Service and this
don't
the
get defensive
I get.
About
get
this.
Get out.
So that was, again, live on the air. And it's talking again about the idea. And I want to read for you PhilMudd.com. Okay, this is his bio. This is how he closes out. Mr. Mudd is the president of Mudd Management, a company specializing in security consulting, analytic training, and public speaking about security issues. Do you think his security clearance is important to his business? I mean, you saw the meltdown. Let's go to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. Bill in Wyoming, online 3. Bill, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. When I was in the service, I'm going to try and keep this short. When I was in the service, I went to technical school where some of these students were able to get a security clearance. My understanding is that getting a security clearance is similar to getting a driver's license in any state. You have to meet the qualifications in order to get that so that you can drive with a driver's license. Yep. You can drive anywhere in your state and other states, certain motorized vehicles. If you don't meet those qualifications, you lose it. Same way with a security clearance. In fact, I even know one person who was 3 feet outside of an assembly area that almost lost his security clearance, and I know of another person who met a fellow drunk in a bar. Turned out a couple of days later, that fellow drunk was actually a security officer who revoked his security clearance.
Yeah, I mean, no, I mean, there's levels of security clearance. So people like Phil Mudd, if they've spent 30 years with the CIA, would probably have the highest levels of security clearance. And so, Wes, I mean, on this point, there's kind of the basic forms and there's kind of next level forms. So government contractors, people who like the Edward Snowden types, there's one level of security clearance. And then you've got the top of the CIA level of security.
Right. What they call top secret, secure, compartmentalized information, which is the highest normal security clearance. And the caller, to his point, after 5 years, if you do not go through a new investigation and it's more brief than the first one, your top secret clearance expires. 10 years for a secret clearance. So it's not automatic to keep it. But what happens with the many of these career officials is that they renew theirs over and over again, and they keep it for the rest of their life. But again, that is not a right. Once you leave government service, the government is not required to continue to renew your security clearance.
All right, right back to the phones. Oh, we go. Let's take as many calls as we can. Scott in Indiana, line 4. Scott, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Yes, I'm a firm believer of draining the swamp. And why are these people allowed to keep their clearance after they leave office? That's, in my eyes, literally as soon as they're done in their service of the FBI, CIA, whatever, their security clearance should be revoked immediately.
It's so that they could be read into a situation quickly. So, like, if you wanted to, if you had a national security situation, so, and I'll be like a devil's advocate here. Phil Mudd is a specialist in Iraq. And so if you had something come up there and you wanted to bring them in quickly, didn't want to go through, there is a process where you can quickly get someone to clear us. But if you wanted to utilize them regularly, on a non-paid basis, for their advice and still have access to that information, that's why. But I think when you cross over into the world of becoming a commentator, political commentator on TV, that's when you have to start questioning whether or not those security clearances are, valid and should be, able to be utilized the way they are, Robert in Florida has a good question on line 5. Robert, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Hey, Robert.
My question is, with all the discussions about former intelligence and other federal employees retaining their security clearances after they leave government service. What about former presidents? Do they retain all of their security clearances once they leave office?
So typically former presidents are briefed on national, they get national and security briefings because they do so much. It makes sense for the most part. They travel around the world. They meet with current world leaders. So that if they're going on a trip, even though they're no longer in the capacity as the current, or they're now former president, if they're going on a trip and they're going to meet with a world leader, they could then go in for a top secret briefing. So I think at that level, remember, you've been elected by the people. You're not a government a bureaucrat and applying for these. You've been chosen by the American people, so it's not the same kind of issue. That being said, do they have a right to that? No. I mean, the current president could say, we're not going to brief this person anymore. They could absolutely do that. So even the president of the United States, no, they would not have a right to that. Now, whether that would be good policy or not, if they're going around the world and you want to make sure they know what's really happening in a country or if there's something behind the scenes they need to know about so they don't step on that, that would make sense. And typically that would be the case there. Back to the phones we go, 1-800-684-3110. Mike in Georgia online too. Mike, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hello. When I was in the military, I had a TSSDI, which is Top Secret Special Background Investigation. And when I left the military, the only thing I took was my oath, and that was to defend the United States. So to me, the clearance should be taken away once they're gone. They don't need it.
Well, and Wes, this gets to the point that for a lot of people, they wouldn't reapply, and right. So it would expire.
They would expire. And commissioned officers in the military are required to have a clearance, and mine expires in 3 more years, even though I retired 4 or 5 years ago. And so it's just a normal thing. Plus, technically, an officer is commissioned for the rest of his life unless he loses his commission or resigns. Yep. But, yeah, it's standard practice for it to go until its expiration time.
All right. 1-800-684-3110. I think we take these final two calls of the day. Jonah in New York, online 6. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, thank you. It's almost been answered, and that's a question of how are they monitored? You did mention the recert, but the fact is that they're a security risk. As somebody with access, they represent a risk. They can be compromised, even unknowingly. And so it's one thing to get recerted 5 years later. It's another to be monitoring. As an employee, they're obviously in constant contact with their team. So how are they monitored? And then the second part of the question is, why should the taxpayer pick up the expense of maintaining a status with these people? It seems like it's to their benefit, not to the government's benefit, to have to maintain that status to do that monitoring.
Yeah, I mean, I think, listen, focusing on Phil Mudd, because he brought this on himself. One of the companies he says he works for is based out of a British-based firm. So he's already taking foreign money, whether it's an ally or a country that's kind of in the middle. You're taking foreign money to get paid for your advice post-service. So he puts it right on his website. Well, you just brought up, Jonah, he's getting paid by foreign. So whether you want to call that compromising or potentially compromising, you're getting paid for the information you can provide. Let's take the final call, and we'll analyze it. Michael in California, online one. Michael, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you. Real quick, two things. One is security clearances are supposed to operate on a need to know. Each person doesn't know everything.
Right.
It's just a need to know. And fired for cause nullifies your reliability and trustworthiness.
Well, and listen, I think that gets to the point. If you're fired for cause, I think you could look directly to this issue. If it is someone like a Phil Mudd who's decided to become a political commentator on television and get paid to do that. So again, he's not just exercising his First Amendment right. He's getting paid every time he does it. And to act that way on TV and to play a part, in a sense. To take a position. And so I think that that's different as well. And in that case, you don't have a right. You can speak all you want, but you don't have a right to security clearance. Great show today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This is a critical time for the Supreme Court and our nation. President Trump has nominated a brilliant jurist. Judge Brett Kavanaugh is eminently qualified. The American Center for Law and Justice is mobilizing on Capitol Hill, demanding Judge Kavanaugh's immediate confirmation. Sign on to our petition, calling on the U.S. Senate to confirm Judge Kavanaugh without delay. Add your name to our petition right now online, aclj.org.